Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of the Nintendo News Report for Thursday, November 29th, 2018. Yes, folks, we are 7 sleeps until Smash, and the only reason I say that is because I know we're all staying up until midnight Eastern to play it.
I'm going
to. Yeah, because we'll all be watching the Game Awards.
You're funny.
I'm pretty primed for the Game Awards, though. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm pretty primed for certain aspects of the Game Awards, but not necessarily the full show.
Yeah, like I feel like there's like four things I might be pretty stoked for, or maybe just the number four. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a new Smash character.
Yeah,
Piranha Plant and
Silex. Yeah, I mean, Silex has to be a major part of Prime 4.
I just want a Bayonetta update, honestly. I'd be good with that. Anyway, we are joined tonight by the boss, the man who will be not watching the Game Awards in full, Mr. Neil Ronahan.
I'll admit, though, so I guess to give some background to, at least I know Donald and I are on the same page of this, the trending gamer award with the Game Awards that Jeff Keighley has been putting on for the past couple years, it's just been kind of a problem. Like, I don't feel like going into too much detail. You can Google that if you want full details, but I haven't really liked watching it because it seems like whenever they have someone who's a trending gamer, it goes sideways.
We regret to inform you that the duck is racist.
Yeah. Everybody milkshake ducks. They are making an attempt to take away the trending gamer award, but I think they just basically renamed it. We'll see what happens. Either way, like for the past couple of years, it's pretty much a lock that Nintendo will have something at the Game Awards. By my hacky Metroid Prime jokes from the open, I think my cat also agrees that Metroid Prime 4 will probably be shown in some form of the Game Awards. Seems right. Who knows? Like, we don't know a year for it. I would assume probably next year, maybe even 2020.
Just an updated logo, right?
Yeah. It'll just be like a logo, but it's like, now we gave it a subtitle. Metroid Prime 4 Generations.
And then Reggie will just be like, see it E3 and wink.
Yeah. No, I think we'll actually get, it might be a pre-rendered trailer. Maybe it's gameplay. I don't know. I'm curious to see what the hell Metroid Prime 4 is. Maybe we'll get something else, but I feel like Prime 4 it's a good fit for the Game Awards.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of game that would fly there. Although, I do still hold out the hope that the 4 refers to the number of people that could be playing that game at one time.
4 duration force?
Yeah. And you will like it.
Yeah.
It was a great game.
It was a really good game. Maybe, okay, I did... At the time that Metroid Prime Federation Force came out, I might have said some things about how I was like, this is a good Metroid game. Neil, when that came out, was dumb. It's not really a Metroid game other than the name. I think Federation Force is still solid. I can see if you were going there for a Metroid game, you would be pissed. And we had a long while without a new Metroid game. I feel like if we got Samus Returns and then Federation Force, the opinion of that game would be completely changed. Probably still not super positive, but just, like, neutral.
It does really give you the Prime feeling of movement, though, so...
Yeah.
If you like that,
like, but in a multiplayer... So, I mean, Metroid Prime 4 showing up the Game Awards seems to be the very prominent rumor and like, expectation. Like, that's where I'm coming from for it. Like, how they did Bayonetta last year, I kind of assume that might be how they do Prime 4. Where else do you think could show up from Nintendo at the Game Awards?
Can I be that guy and suggest Donkey Kong? Or should I say effing Donkey Kong?
Oh, I mean Donkey Kong Jr. out now, Arcade Archives?
Yeah, you mean Donkey Kong Country? I don't know. What would be so we had Returns, Tropical Freeze,
Tropical Freeze
Mystical
3D.
Donkey Kong Country, Mystical Mountaintop. I don't know. It would be really funny if after all these years, Retro's new game was just another Donkey Kong. It'd probably be a really good game, but it'd be really funny.
I'd laugh. I'd be happy. And I'd be like a mixture of happy and sad because I want to see Retro do something else, but I really like those Donkey Kong games, so
Someone in the
And
chat said they want to see Fire Emblem Three Houses at the Game Awards. I feel like that's more of like I don't think Fire Emblem's crowd is necessarily at the Game Awards. I feel like that the crowd for Fire Emblem is a big old hunk in Nintendo Direct in January or February.
I think it's more likely we see Fire Emblem Heroes Book 3 than Three Houses at the Game Awards, honestly.
So with that in mind, I guess it's very unlikely.
I still think we could see a new Smash character reveal one of the DLCs if it's tar in line with the target for the people
Yeah,
watching.
I think it kind of depends on how far along those characters are. There's been like noise from Sakurai that I guess like the DLC locked down a couple weeks ago, but like we don't know what state those characters were in. Like,
Yeah, and we don't know if
I
there's going
think
to be
like
a trailer, like a special, like CGI type trailer for the new DLC characters, so they could have
yeah.
that ready.
Yeah, like it would be opportune. Because I mean, how we even started talking about the Game Awards was the Game Awards is the night of Smash. So probably by the time the Game Awards is over, you'll be able to get Smash Brothers. So it would be a really smart thing that if Nintendo's doing marketing stuff at the Game Awards to make people buy their new game, that would be pretty brilliant.
All right. And I suppose we should introduce the other person who you probably would recognize, but is Justin Berube.
Yep, I'm here.
I'm sorry for sending us down a
Down
dark path.
a
A
rat
dark
hole, if you will.
Samus path.
Oh.
It's okay. I had fun discussing what could be shown at the Game Awards.
Yeah, like I'll be honest, don't really care about anything else about the Game Awards. Really excited to see what Nintendo shows. Because I think it'll be something like it'll be something maybe not super substantial, but like last year we got the Breath of the Wild DLC and Bayonetta 3 and 1 and 2. We could see something there. I don't think it'll be anything out now. Smash Brothers literally comes out that night.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to really take the Game Awards too seriously when they gave Breath of the Wild Game of the Year,
And also the fact that they're happening in on December 6th, and what will probably be ending up as our Game of the Year comes out after the Game Awards. Like
Yeah, like both
I
Pokemon and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate are not nominees for the Game Awards. I think the cutoff, I don't know if they said it, but obviously it's sometime early November. But that'd be one thing if like they actually did recognize the games that came out in November or December the last year. Because for example, like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 didn't show up as a nominee at all, which okay, well, one, I think for music, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 should totally be nominated and probably even win. I don't even know what its competitors are. I do like Octopath. I think Octopath Traveler got nominated for a bunch of things. Xenoblade should be in that discussion. And I'm someone who didn't even really like Xenoblade 2 that much.
No, the
But it
soundtrack
like,
is incredible.
yeah, the soundtrack is a masterpiece. But like even just that game for best RPG, it should be in the conversation. And
Or
it's a
Torna.
failure of the structure of the Game Awards that they don't include games from 2017, even though the cutoff like should be like, mid to late November of the year before.
Yeah, because if you go by their logic, I guess Smash Brothers Ultimate cannot be eligible for any game in the game or any award in the Game Awards.
Although Cherry Goblin in the chat does say that Xenoblade Chronicles X was nominated in 2016. And that would have been a December release. So I guess
Okay.
I've done it. I guess it's more like, why didn't you nominate Xenoblade Chronicles 2, people who were doing the nominees?
I
Yeah.
wonder if a lot of them,
Even
honestly.
Torna. Check out Torna. Torna's got good music. And I still need to play that game because it's probably the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 that I wanted.
It might be.
Anyway.
It's shorter Xenoblade.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We'll probably have more on that next week once, you know, once the awards have awards have actually happened. But let's just real quick here. First question, what did y'all buy last week with Black Friday? Or did you have a chance to get anything?
I played a lot of Pokemon. That's what I did on Black Friday. I like Let's Go. I don't know if y'all have talked about it yet, but I think Let's Go is a horribly broken game that I'm really enjoying.
So, in other words, it's just like the game it was based on, because that is also a horribly broken game.
Yeah. Except for this is like, I think that like Pokemon Red and Blue were broken in a like player unfriendly manner. Whereas I think that Pokemon Let's Go is broken in a player friendly manner. Like, you can basically just take any Pokemon and just pump it full of candy until it can't eat anymore. And then you have like God Pokemon. And like, that's kind of funny.
And Justin is living proof of that with his Mew. There is a tweet on Justin's Twitter account at King Nintendo Fan, basically showing what happens when you leave the same Pokemon in the Pokeball Plus for 4 days.
Yeah, and play with it quite a bit. But yeah, I maxed out how much experience I can get from pulling it back. I think I got over 100 rare candy, probably 120-ish Mew candy. It's insane. If you have the Pokeball Plus, you have to just keep playing your Pokemon. And I recommend, turn the sound off. I'm doing it right now. You know,
Are you just doing it the whole time?
Yeah, man. I just
is like your Mew. Your Mew's going out for another walk.
This is Pikachu now, because I can't do too much more with Mew. I want some Pikachu candy because I got the Pikachu version. But you know, you have it on. You have the light on, and you just slowly rotate the stick. And every once in a while, it'll have the rainbow flash. Just got one there. And you're basically leveling up your Pokemon, getting items. It's basically like a huge hack for the game. But it's
kind of like a stress ball, too. Like, if you're at work, you can just have the Pokeball off to the side.
Yeah,
help yourself calm down.
I like to think of it as a modern fidget spinner.
I like how a modern fidget spinner. Not like fidget spinners are already pretty modern. I have my Pokeball Plus is currently hanging on my Christmas tree.
I hope it's spinning or something.
you did say it was the perfect Christmas ornament.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke. It's on my tree right now. I mean, it's in a place that, like, if I want to use it, I can just grab it. Because I actually do kind of enjoy playing the game with that. It's good for when you're holding a baby, which I do, since I have a son.
I was suggested to pick up the Pokeball Plus because it's supposedly the best way to if you have to do motion on the game that you do it. Unfortunately, I know you have to wear a ring for it, and I think my fingers might be too big for it.
You don't have to wear the ring.
I mean, it's for safety, if you want to be safe.
Yeah, I would prefer not to I would prefer not to have to buy a new TV.
After playing the game with motion controls and in handheld mode, I think I prefer handheld mode. It's a little bit more accurate to throwing those balls. I notice
and
a
you
lot of
can
my throws
do...
miss.
You can do the like the Ocarina of Time 3DS thing where you tilt the system to do it. You can also just use an analog stick. I think actually handheld is probably the best way to play it, but I can tell you what is not the best way to play it, and that's single Joy-Con. I messed around with that a little bit because my Pokeball Plus, I mentioned it in my article on the Pokeball Plus on NintendoWorldReport.com. I think it does kind of a bad job of like communicating with you. Like, I thought the thing just broke when in reality it had a low battery, but like to find that out I had to Google being like, oh, when it shows me these lights, what does that mean? How come it won't connect? Fortunately, the Pokeball Plus support page is pretty well organized, and also the, you know, helpful people on Reddit have threads on these things too. I wish there was kind of more in-game notification and even like instruction on what to do with the Pokeball Plus, because I think a lot of it's unexplained. Like, for example, what Justin's discussing with the, you know, playing with the Pokemon by like rubbing the analog stick around. Like, no one tells you that?
No. I mean, there's a lot of things with it doesn't tell you. I don't even quite understand if this gives me experience and rewards or what. Nope. I can't find too much information about how many steps translate to experience points or what. It's
like, I don't think it needs to give you that much specific detail, but just like, oh, like when you're walking with your Pokemon, play with it by this. Like, for example, when that thing, but like, I took my Bulbasaur for a walk, like when I first got the game, and it's in my pocket, and the thing just starts making noise. I didn't know that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess like maybe it's tricking me into being like the Pokemon's alive. But like, there's nothing, like, I don't know what to do when that happens.
Yeah, you're supposed to like press a little button, I think, but also it doesn't even tell you how to turn the sound off unless you look online.
Yeah, that's another thing. I had to look that up, and you can't turn the sound off on the thing when you're playing the game. It's weird. Like, I like it. It's a fun little peripheral, but it has a lot of stupid things about it.
Did anyone find out what the third button does? Like the secret?
It's a factory reset.
Okay.
So like, you won't get Mew back, but it will like reset everything else. I guess so you can like pair it with another system or something. I don't know entirely why. I did find out it was a factory reset button.
Yeah, because I pressed it before I even got Mew, but I was able to still get Mew.
Matthew Kelly asks, is Pokemon Let's Go uses the USB controller such as the Nintendo GameCube controller? I doubt it. Pokemon Let's Go only uses single Joy-Con, Pokeball Plus, or handheld.
Yeah, I even tried. I got so desperate, I busted out my old Pokemon controller. Didn't recognize it at all. Also made for a very nice freakout as it dawned on a Game Informer writer this week on Twitter that, hey, none of these other controllers work.
Yeah. And when you're doing the Pokeball Plus, you can't even go back to the home menu.
Nope. You have to pull out a Joy-Con because there's no home button on the darn thing.
Yeah, because you can't turn on a Pro Controller to do that, and you have to make sure you're on the right Joy-Con. Literally, the right Joy-Con, not the left one.
Yeah, I don't think you can't take screenshots unless you're playing
in that
mode because of that.
It's unless you have like a Joy-Con off to the side, which defeats the purpose of the cute little Pokeball accessory. But like, I get it, you can't saddle that thing with buttons, but like, I wish maybe even if it's a shortcut or something where like you hold both buttons and shake and it takes you to the home menu. Like, do something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, so just real quick as the initial question there, I asked about the Black Friday stuff. I went a little crazy. And in addition to buying a 400 gig memory card for my Switch, thankfully that was about $100. Let's see. Dumb things I bought on the eShop on Black Friday. Tropical Freeze Digital. Skyrim.
Really good game. That's not dumb. Tropical Freeze is not dumb.
Yeah, and especially since I had the physical version previously, so I could just trade that in for eShop credit.
Okay, that's questionable.
But wait, was it physical version for Wii U? Or?
No, it's on Switch.
Okay. And what was because the discount for Tropical Freeze was real good, and I think that sale ended, didn't it?
Yeah, that ended yesterday. At noon Eastern, which unfortunately caught my roommate, because he was hoping to pick up SteamWorld Dig 2, but just missed it.
All right, so you got Tropical Freeze. That's a good buy, even if it's silly, because you already have the physical version.
there were some trade deals involved that helped me get the credit for this, so I don't feel too bad about it. Skyrim.
Good game. Good version, good deal.
Yeah, see that mountain? You can play Skyrim on it. The Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection.
Good collection.
Yeah. Mario and Rabbids Gold Edition. So that includes the season pass.
Yeah, I still haven't played the DLC or finished the game. Really like Mario plus Rabbids. It's just the victim of the fall where a million games came out on Switch.
Yeah.
I need to play the DLC. I beat the game.
Reigns, Kings, and Queens, which I know James talked about on Radio Free Nintendo a couple weeks ago.
You can also check out a video review on Nintendo World Report TV, which is the channel that you're on right now, that I did a couple of months ago when it came out. It's real fun. Yeah, I mean, it's like medieval Tinder. in a way.
Yeah.
There's also a Game of Thrones variant that I hope comes to Switch eventually. I've been playing that on my phone, and if you were a fan of Game of Thrones, which I would consider my, like, I watched the show, I'm not super into it, but what they do with that game, and like mash it up with Game of Thrones and kind of make it like make narrative sense is really, really neat.
I this was 66% off and just got updated, or I wouldn't have bothered. Runner 3.
I'd be curious to see what you think. I know Zach revisited it recently after the update, and it seems like it corrected a lot of the issues that, we both had when we first played it. I hate played that game to like near 100% completion. I don't think I'm ever going back to Runner 3. Because I got to a point where I'm like, you know what I need to know? I need to know how I truly, I need to, like, I think I got to like basically 95% completion in that game because I had to know. And what I found out is I did not like that game at launch.
Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, which more on Bloodstained later. Although I do appreciate the throwback to Castlevania 3 there. Shining Residence Refrain. I forgot
that you didn't review that because that's just such a game that you would have reviewed.
Yeah. Although, given that I'm hoping for something involving, that one, Tales of Vesperia, apparently these new Shining games are extremely similar.
They are. I played a mess of that. I have a review in Nintendo Force magazine on Shining Resonance Refrain, and yeah, it's totally Tales like. I enjoyed it, didn't love it, but it's a fun game, probably worth the money that you paid for it.
And Wild Guns Reloaded, which was a really good deal at 50% off, and I think it already got a price drop. Like, it got a price drop before that.
Stupid expensive when it came out. That's another one. There's a video review on this here channel by yours truly. It's a really, really cool game. I think it, weirdly, like Toki, which is a game that we're going to talk about later, it's one of those things where, like, it's cool that they brought this old game back. I wish it wasn't priced so high for what is basically just, like, an old arcade game.
And finally, and the last thing I got off the eShop was Thumper, which I've had that on my wish list for so long. It's like, why did I not have that?
I just got the physical game. Just got the physical copy of that from Limited Run Games. Haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Justin, I feel like you might like that game a lot. It's like, it's a super aggressive rhythm game that's hard as hell.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to try it. And I was on the fence, almost bought it digitally a few times, and then I heard Limited Run was doing it. I go, oh, I can get it physical? Okay. I also got Night Trap, but it's not a Black Friday.
Yeah, and I have combined between system memory and micro SD card 3.1 gigs left on my Switch.
Yeah, I got the 400 gig SD card, and if I had everything that I own on Switch, it would be filled.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm proud about that.
I'm kind of worried because I'm waiting until my 400 gig gets here before I preload Smash. I'm worried if I do that, I will fill up my entire card when I re-download everything.
Yeah, I don't buy as many digital games as you guys, but I did buy a new micro SD card for the Switch, only 256 gigabytes. I almost filled up my 128, but I try to go for the U3 memory cards, which are a little bit more expensive, so they load games faster and whatnot, and I did find some information that made it seem like Switch does take advantage of that. So
I did not know that. I think I just got whatever SanDisk was on sale a couple weeks or months ago.
Yeah, this one was on sale for Cyber Monday. I actually, just before the show, transferred everything over to the new one and popped it in my Switch. Seems to work. I don't know how much faster the U3 is over the other one. It probably depends on the game and stuff like that. But if I can take advantage of the speed, I'm going to do it. I also got the... Super Mario Maker 2DS bundle.
The Super Mario Maker for Nintendo 3DS 2DS bundle.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know the one.
Yeah.
It has the Mario Maker logo on the back. And
I had a weird week. Like, I won't get into too much personal stuff. And I'm not seeking sympathy, but my wife's grandfather passed away like last weekend. So last week was weird because it was a lot of like waiting for that to happen. So I went out on Black Friday trying to fix my sink and was very confused on the people because it didn't dawn on me that it was that day. But from the time that I spent out, saw a ton of those Mario Maker 2DSs there in every store that I was in, like oodles of them. And I barely, like, I didn't see any of the Mario Kart 8 Switches. But there were, like, I could have drowned in the amount of Mario Maker 2DSs that I saw out in the wild.
They're so cheap.
Like, it's a pretty good deal for, like, is the Super Mario Maker for Nintendo 3DS kind of, like, silly and weird on that system compared to Mario Maker on Wii U? Yes. Yes, it is. It's still a pretty good 2D Mario game, mm-hmm. Even if it's like you can make levels, but they're limited to just being on your 3DS and you can't share them with anyone. And like the 3DS is still a fantastic system, and the 2DS is a pretty good version of that system.
It's a great deal if you're looking for budget gaming and haven't experienced 3DS at all.
Yeah.
Especially for kids. Like, come on, like, spend $70, and I think it's either 70 or 80, and it comes with the game.
It's $80 US. It never got sold in Canada for some reason. And it comes with a $40 game. So effectively, you're getting the hardware for $40.
Yeah, it's insane. eShop stuff, I only bought two things. I bought the third Dylan game because it was 50% off on 3DS.
That's a really good price for that game.
Yeah.
And what was that, like $20?
Yeah, $20.
Something like that. Yeah, that's a really good game. I hated the first Dylan. Did not play The Last Ranger, the second one, but I did. I reviewed the third Dylan game and was super impressed by it.
Yeah,
it's one of those games that I think if it came out on Switch, we'd all be raving about it. But it came out on a system that no one really plays anymore or talks about, so it kind of just came out to die.
Yeah, and it was a really weird deal because the first two Dylan games were eShop exclusive and lower price, but that game got a physical release everywhere else. But here, I believe. So yeah. That $40 price tag was slapped on it. It was kind of a sticker shock because we've kind of grown accustomed to Dylan games being less money than that, especially if they're on the eShop only. So I think that really hurt the game, at least in this territory.
I think it justifies the full price, honestly. Like, it's a much bigger game than the other two Dylan games, and there's a lot more variety. It's got this like super weird Mad Max vibe to it that I'm really into. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on it. It's
if I get around to Smash, really just come enjoy
it. Yeah, I know. Maybe Dylan will show up in Smash. I'm hoping so because I got to do that interview with Tanabe Tabata and the director of the Dylan games. I do not remember his name off the top of my head. But I did ask about Dylan and Smash, and all three of them were like, "Yes, yes, please, we want him in there." So I can only picture like Tanabe like bending the knee to Sakurai and just being like, "Please, sir, put Dylan in Smash Brothers," and like Sakurai's just like with a thumb, just messing with him.
He might be an assist trophy. I'll check that now. But I also finally got around to getting Goner on Switch, which is a game I delayed getting for quite a while because I wanted all the features in it before I started playing. But yeah, that was on sale too, so I picked that up. And that, I think that's everything I got.
I don't really have any Black Friday sales. I will share one of my friends who he hasn't gotten a Nintendo console since the Wii, and he bought a Switch last week. He got the Mario Maker or the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe bundle. He also picked up a Super Mario Party in the Joy-Con bundle, so now he's got two sets of Joy-Con. And then he actually got Pokemon Let's Go from Justin. Because Justin bought the system bundle and then sold the code.
Yeah, I sold a lot of weird things the last month.
And then what other games did he get? He picked up Nine Parchments because he wanted a Diablo-like game. but didn't want to spend all the money on Diablo, and I think Nine Parchments was on sale for like $6 or something. What else? There was another game that they got. Oh, and he's going to get Smash Brothers when it comes out. But so that was a person, a friend of mine who was really into video games when we grew up, and then kind of took a console generation out off. He's back in the fray.
Yeah,
he's playing Switch. I got somebody to trade my Graveler to.
Yeah,
so I could get myself an Alolan Golem.
Dylan is an assist trophy in Smash, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah. And one thing I just remembered, because it's because of Postal Strife here, it's not going to be coming until just before Smash gets here. I got Civ 6 for $40, which is $40 Canadian, so $30 US.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I got Civ 6 for the Best Buy discount and just played Pokemon instead of touching Civ 6.
Yeah.
So it's just waited on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of scary to see a game that came out a week ago, like a week before you bought it, already be half price. But it can't be any worse than
to play suit.
Yeah, although it can't be any worse than people were getting Diablo 3 for $17 at Walmart.
Yeah, that's a steal. I will say Diablo 3 is excellent. Civ 6, I look forward to playing. I haven't played a Civ game in a very long time. I'm excited.
Now you both have mentioned here in various forms Toki, which I know we have an article on the site on that now as to playing it in the arcade or at the pizza parlor, I guess, right, Justin?
At Pizza Hut. I mean, I love
the combination. The combination Taco Bell and Pizza Hut.
No, this one was just this is the old dine-in Pizza Hut type deal. I mean, there's still a few of them around. But yeah, Toki is a game that I used to play there in my youth. You could read more about it on NintendoWorldReport.com. But yeah,
and here's the silly thing that comes with the Toki physical edition that I believe is exclusive at GameStop.
Yes.
But as you can see, that there are like wooden pieces. Actually, it's not like, I don't know the exact material of this ridiculous looking arcade cabinet for your Switch, but it's pretty cute. And it fits your Switch nicely. As Justin asked before the show, you can charge your Switch while using this. So, I don't know. It's better than the kickstand. Maybe it's not worth the $10 to $20 extra dollars for the whole set. Although you also get, I'll go into the rest of it, you get a physical copy of the game. You get a little comic book. I don't know. Written by Jacquette. Comic book with art and words, and it comes with a couple lithographs as well. So if you want to get the Toki Retrolectors Retrolector edition, I believe it's exclusive at GameStop, and I don't think it's like, I feel like if you're gonna spend a lot of money on what amounts to like an upgraded port of an arcade game, you might as well just get the big dumb physical version.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good choice. Toki is a very weird game. I think I have a review going up tomorrow for it, so look forward to that. It is fairly short, but I enjoy Toki. I know it has flaws, it's not great, but it's a really stupid game that I like.
So you're a man who, you're like a caveman. I started up the game. The evil hand of Bashtar has seized the lovely Miho. Her beloved, the mighty Toki, that's you, has also been dealt a wicked blow. Now reduced to a lowly ape, Toki must embark. It's got embark, but it's like spelt like French-Canadian. Embarque. On a perilous journey to free Miho and become a man again. So you play as a monkey. And Justin, you can describe it, because I'm playing the game.
Okay, yeah, he plays like a monkey who can spit forward, backward, up in the two upward diagonal directions. You can also jump on enemies, and you have one hit before you die. And it's like a platformer shooter. In my review, I describe it as a weird mix between Super Mario Brothers, Ghosts and Goblins, and Contra. And yeah, it's like a platforming game in the arcades. So it's really bizarre. Like I said, I do have fond memories of playing it in the arcade. And it was also on Nick Arcade a few times, too. And I remember seeing it on there as a kid. But yeah, it's Toki. Toki's back and just a completely enhanced remake. And I can't believe I'm still saying that. But I looked into the development of this game a bit. And it's a little bizarre because I think this game was announced around 2009 or 2010. And at one point, several years ago, I mean, maybe like 2011-ish, or I'd have to double check. It went up on Steam or something like that as an early, I don't know, is it Greenlight or something they do? Where you can try games early.
Yeah.
This version of Toki went up on that for a while, and then they got rid of it. And then the developer just kept saying, like, Toki's coming, but nothing happened, and nobody's really heard from that developer in a long time. But they also promised a update for Joe and Mac as well, if you remember that game, which I played on Super Nintendo and NES when I was younger. Anyway, then this other company, what is it, Mercroids or something like that?
Mercroids.
Yeah.
They do a lot of Switch stuff.
Somehow they got the rights to that old Toki game, and when people ask them about the original company, they just say they can't talk about that or something like that. So it's pretty mysterious. But in Toki, I did find on some walls, I guess it's maybe some of their other games, but there is a etched in stone image of Joe and Mac.
Caveman. So maybe it's coming. Maybe you have to buy Toki in order to get Joe and Mac.
I wonder if it's coming or if they put that in when they originally developed this game all those years ago and that's just a remnant for the old promise. Or not. I mean, I'd love to see a remake of Joe and Mac like this. I don't care. Anyone else like Joe and Mac?
I played it.
I liked it back in the day, and I could have sworn that was coming, but unfortunately, the Data East stuff would be coming from Flying Tiger and the Johnny Turbo series on the archives, and these are the same guys who used fan art for Bad Dudes in the icon, and I think they had a YouTube clip as one of their screenshots for another
to
game.
To be fair, they also gave us Heavy Burger, which is the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
God.
Competitive.
Well, that's all I really have to say about that back.
Toki.
Hey, look forward to the Toki review tomorrow, and maybe try Toki, but it is kind of expensive, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's 30 or 40 bucks in the eShop. I know that the Retro Lector Edition is $50 at GameStop, which, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of doge.
But the extra stuff does kind of help soften the blow.
Yeah.
All right, so, Neil, you haven't been on in a few weeks, and in the interim since you last joined us, you got to be one of the blessed ones who went to who got to play some Smash Brothers.
Yeah. So I guess this is now.
Yeah.
The embargo for this event was right before Thanksgiving. I think it was the 19th. I went to the event like a week or two before then. So it's been a while, but Jared and I got to go to an event in New York City where we got to play a buttload of Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. I got to play World of Light, got to play the classic mode with only a few select characters, which is... So, like, the characters we were limited to, it was Wolf, Captain Falcon, Rob, Mario, and Duck Hunt. Like, why?
That is the most random collection I could think of.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with that. So, the classic mode, I think this has already come out, and by this point, I mean, our coverage of the game has come out. Classic mode, there was a specific... like run of events for every character. And it's kind of fun because like Wolf's is characters who missed the last Smash Brothers game. So like the first stage is against Ice Climbers. And then like you fight Snake, you fight Pichu. And even like you usually fight them on stages that weren't in the last Smash Brothers, which I thought was also a nice touch. And then at the end of that, the final boss, at least, when you're on lower difficulties, I would assume as you get to the higher difficulties, it has the same intensity meter that was in Smash Wii U 3DS as well as Kid Icarus Uprising. When you get to the higher ones, I assume you're fighting Master Crazy Hand, but you fight Galleon, who is a mech that was in Subspace Emissary. For the other ones, for Duck Hunt, you fight Rathalos for Monster Hunter as your final boss. For Mario, you fight Giga Bowser at the end of it, which, I mean, that's really cool. Classic mode, it seems like they're... I think that classic mode still like doesn't have that much of a long tail to it, but I plan to probably play through it with most of the 75 characters to just see like what the knot is in their collection of fights. Like all of Duck Hunt's were against other animals, which was cute. Cherry Goblin asked in chat, does Captain Falcon play any different? I actually did not play as Captain Falcon, because we didn't have infinite time, and there's 75 characters in this game. That's a lot. I did play the World of Light. I got to play as Kirby, and then I unlocked Mario. So the way World of Light works is you start off on a linear path, playing through events first. You're only Kirby, because Kirby's the only one that could survive, according to Sakurai.
Although I love that the runner-ups apparently were Bayonetta and Palutena.
Yeah, like you had to justify it within the logic of the game worlds that they would make it out. So you start off as Kirby, you go through a couple matches, then you fight Mario, then you unlock Mario as a playable character. You can switch between either one at any point. Not like mid-match, but like outside of matches. And then you go to another point, and then you have a branching path where you can fight Villager, Marth, or... God, what was the third one? Villager, Marth, or Sheik. And then you pick one of those, and the other two paths are closed off. You have to go down that path. I picked Villager because I needed a troll character in my posse. And then I went through an area that was modeled after Mario Kart and F-Zero, and kind of went through that, had a bunch of fun matches. You can see a lot of those videos on our YouTube channel. And then I fought Captain Falcon, and then my demo with World of Light ended. But the coolest thing about World of Light and then the other single-player stuff, that the Spirit Board, which is these event matches that are all really, really clever. Some of the ones that we have footage of, like there's a Mother 3 inspired one where you get a Salsa the Monkey spirit out of it. And for people who haven't played Mother 3, I guess those people that are trying to be good Nintendo children and not download a ROM and use the fan translation, even though that's probably the only way we're ever going to get to play it. But in Mother 3, there is a monkey named Salsa who is represented in Smash Brothers by Diddy Kong, who is paired up with kind of a dude who, I don't know, looks kind of like Wario named Facade. So you have a match where you're fighting Diddy Kong and Wario, kind of fitting in with the theme of that character. There was another one where Tron Bon from Mega Man Legends, it was Wendy Koopa representing Tron Bon, and then a bunch of tiny Robs representing the Servbots. And there's just stuff like that throughout all of these matches. It's almost like part of the fun of going through World of Light or messing with the Spirit Board is just to see, like, what's the hook? Why is this representative of these characters? And I'm like, I'm so excited to start messing around to just see all of the winking nods and cute tributes in this. Because I don't know for sure. Like, I know if you want to be a terrible human being, go look at all the leaked Smash Brothers stuff that's out there. I don't know how many spirits are in the game, but I'm pretty sure that there is an event match for every spirit or close to it. And I want to see all that stuff. It looks great.
I wish there was a way to create your own event type things to share with friends.
That would be really cool. Maybe we could see that. That would be neat. You can set like parameters and matches. I think there might be like you could save rule sets and stuff, so you might be able to do that a little more.
Yeah, you might be able to maybe finagle something out of the systems.
Yeah. What else? Multiplayer. And playing a lot of multiplayer. It's really fun. It's Smash Brothers. I'm not the person to ask about specifics of like, what's the frame data? It does feel like it plays a little more, I guess maybe like looser in a way. Like it's definitely, it feels a little quicker to me. It's a little more chaotic, but in a way that I like, because I like when Smash is chaotic. Like, I don't remember having moments like I did at this event. And I did play Smash Wii U at, like, E3 and stuff. So it's not like it wasn't just that setup. But, like, I would lose my character on the screen sometimes, which I think is more of a testament to, like, how much is going on and the, like, the slight difference in how it all runs and is presented. Someone asked in the chat, do you know if spirits have descriptions? I'm, like, 99% sure that spirits do not have descriptions. But yeah, there's a whole buttload of content about Smash Brothers on this channel. So if you want to see, there's a discussion Jared and I had with Matt Zadaniak, who's a big Smash Brothers fan on the site. He's a staff member. So there's that. Is there a Box Boy spirit? I hope so.
There's got to be.
I would imagine, like, some of the, like, Raymond Bryce from Disaster Day of Crisis is a spirit, which made me giggle. DeMille, who is from the game, like, I think it's like Tomato Adventure. It was a Game Boy Advance game by Alpha Dream that predates Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga.
I remember
that. I did not know who that character was. I had to Google it. But yeah, DeMille is a character from that game. That was the spirit. There's the Mother 3 ones. There's so much. I want to roll around in that bed of Nintendo history.
Yeah, there's a lot of obscure characters that even I don't really know, because they'll take characters from games I never played, and not just main characters, obscure characters from those games. It's really awesome. I just hope that there's, like, a way to see what game they came from. That's
I'm pretty sure that, like, when you, like, click into the spirit, like, I believe with Raymond Bryce from Disaster, like, it would say his name and then have, like, in parentheses, like, Disaster Day of Crisis or something like that. So I think, like, that's possible to see. You're not going to get the write-ups that they had on the trophies, which is a little bit of a bummer. But, like, there's a lot of work to just basically put in a Wikipedia description. Should just be, like, a link to let me Google that for you.
And Smash seems like the kind of game that would come with its own web browser, so why not?
I would say probably favorite characters from the newcomers. I'm really excited to play as Isabelle, because Isabelle is just, like, a different form of troll. Like, very much, like, in the line of Villager, but, like, that stupid little fishing rod side B, where you throw the fishing rod, catch a person, and then throw them out, is just a beautiful, beautiful move. And the fact that, like, her down B, unlike the tree, which I do love planting a tree and then having the time to chop down the tree and then messing a dude's day up, like, that is a beautiful thing to do with Villager. But the way Isabelle's down B works is she basically plants a gyroid like a landmine, which she almost feels like it's a solid snake move. And then when someone goes over it, the gyroid just goes straight up in the air. I appreciate stuff like that. I like K-Rool a lot. He's got a nice heft to him, and I really want to play around with him more. His upbeat recovery is ridiculous. Who else? I want to play more of the Belmonts. Kind of like what I love the way that the Belmonts reference Castlevania games, but I didn't get as good of a handle of them at the event. And who else? Ridley looks like he could be fun. But I think my once in future main is probably going to be Game & Watch, at least early on, because they added this awesome forward aerial attack of his where he just drops a bomb. And it's really good, especially combining that with his back aerial where he, like, tosses out a turtle.
I'll say he's not the shoebox thing anymore. First 40.
I guess not. Yeah. But yeah, I want to play this damn game. Can we just go to bed so there's another that's one less sleep until Smash Brothers?
Yeah. So let's run through some quick news hits real quick. One of which pertains to Smash, in that Nintendo of America sent out a bunch of financial on Wednesday pertaining to the, what do we call it, the Turkey Five, the time between Thanksgiving and the Cyber Monday. Smash Brothers Ultimate is the most pre-ordered game in Switch history. Everybody looks shocked.
Wow.
Although that And it's also the most pre-ordered Smash Brothers game in history, so it's probably going to do better in its first month than even Super Smash Brothers Brawl did, which I believe might have pushed 1 million in March, as opposed to pushing probably way more than that in December. And the they sold, some estimates have about 800,000 Switches being sold on that 5-day weekend, which I can believe.
Like I said, I know two people who are buying a Switch just for Smash Brothers so far, and I'm expecting that number to rise before next Friday.
Yeah, and you have to think that if they're selling 800,000 Switches in 5 days, but they had a Pokemon game come out the week before, it's going to be a very interesting sales report we get from NPD next month for November. And Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee were like the fourth best-selling thing on Black Friday, trailing laptops, something called Wall Surprise, and the Fingerlings. And just running behind that was God of War, which was like $20 most everywhere. So yeah, Nintendo had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, good for Pokemon Let's Go. You know, I think there's things to be knocked on in that game, but I think it's a really good kind of introductory Pokemon game in a way. And I'm very glad that we're getting a more traditional mainline game next year. But Let's Go does a lot of cool things.
Yeah, I'm wondering what this is going to mean for December, because this is the month when Smash actually comes out, and if we see something along the lines of, you know, a December 2009 situation where they sold 3.8 million Wiis, is that possible to do nowadays, or is the fact that the system's still $300 for the usual bundle going to kill that?
I don't know. Like, I do think that the price, like, I think the price of the system kind of might hinder some potential holiday mega deals, because you do think that when the Wii was the Wii $200 in December 2009.
Yes, that was the first. That was the first holiday after the price drop.
Yeah. So, like, that's. I mean, I guess maybe accounting for inflation, maybe $300 is closer to $200 than we give it credit to be. But it does still feel like a disparity. Like, I think just the Switch on a whole is a more expensive console to get into than the Wii was. Doesn't come with a pack-in game, for one. Although I guess you can get, you know, they did have that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe bundle, which I know a lot of people seem to get. Fortnite's free, yeah. But like that's not a pack-in game. Fortnite is really good.
It's technically pre-installed on the system, so I guess it could be considered a pack-in game.
Yeah. But like, I had that video a couple weeks ago when the Nintendo financials came in at the end of October. And I still kind of remain with that, although I think so far Pokemon Let's Go is pulling up its end of the bargain. But in order to get to the expectations that Nintendo has for, you know, sales for the rest of the holiday season and into early next year, they don't have margin for error. So, like, Smash Brothers has to kill. Pokemon Let's Go has to kill. New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, when that comes out in January, that has to kill, or else they're not going to hit that 20 million the fiscal year.
I brought up this theory last week with Donald, but I want to hear your take on it, Neil. It's something we didn't discuss when we brought this up. You're talking about those Mario Kart Switch bundles, right?
Yeah.
What if Nintendo releases that Mario Kart mobile game early February and floods the market with those Mario Kart Switch bundles? Do you think that strategy could help?
I think that could, and I would actually assume that Mario Kart Tour probably will hit early next year. Like, I think that's promised before the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, they did it with Fire Emblem Heroes, and that was their most successful mobile game. Yeah. And I don't think they're, I mean, yeah, I don't see Mario Kart Tour coming out before the end of this year. I think that's an early next year thing. But I mean, like, I feel like in order to get to 20 million, there's something that we don't know of for early next year. which is totally possible. Like, we'll see. That's kind of all we can do right now is we'll see. But step one for Nintendo to hit that number was Pokemon Let's Go doing very, very well. And they did that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Let's Go already at already over 1.5 million. And Nintendo tends to underestimate their numbers when they give their own, based on their own internal tracking. Like, the NPD number usually ends up being quite a bit higher. Like, when they said, like, that month where they had 3.8 million Wiis, Nintendo's official statement was over 3 million, which we all thought, okay, maybe 3.1. Nope, 3.8. So we'll see how that goes. Somebody was in a bit of a trolling mood last weekend as Eiji Aonuma was at a concert in Japan, and he started dropping hints that we could be seeing Skyward Sword on Switch before in the not too distant future.
Well, what exactly did he say?
I believe the phrasing was like he was asked something about the Zelda franchise. He's like, don't you want to talk about Skyward Sword on Switch?
Well, so I forget the exact like translated quotes for it, but I think it was the woman who does the Japanese voice for Zelda was on the stage with him, and I think made some reference to how like she wished she could play Skyward Sword on her Switch. And then what happened later was she was asking Aonuma some questions, and it was about like, I think like the inspiration behind Breath of the Wild or something like that. And Anuma's response was, don't you want to ask me about Skyward Sword on Switch? Following up on her earlier like wistful comment. And I know there was like a quote, I think Eurogamer got a quote from a Nintendo representative that was like, we're not doing that right now. Which is kind of like, what are they going to say? Like, you got us. We had a marketing plan, but who cares?
This is the same company that denied a DS revision was coming until the day before the DS Lite was announced.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be very happy to see Skyward Sword brought back. If I was running Nintendo, I'd say that is the Zelda game we put on Switch next, if there's going to be one between a mainline Zelda game, because all the other 3D Zelda games have had some sort of remake, except Skyward Sword. So that's probably been the longest one, and I think at least people played it.
Can we do like a Bale 1 and 2 bundle of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD first?
No, you're going to have to buy them separately.
I'd be fine with that.
But come on, you know Nintendo wouldn't do that. They'd make you buy them separately. And it would work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with that. Like, I think Bayonetta 1 and 2, like, Patrick and them, like, you weren't going to probably sell them both for $60 again.
They didn't sell Twilight Princess for $60 to begin with. It was $50.
That's true. But with Skyward Sword, like, I think my thing with that, who knows if it's happening. Like, I hope it is. I love that game. I also think that if you bring that game to Switch, I think you got to stick to doing it with motions. Nintendo has proven that they are stubborn. And if you look at like Pokemon Let's Go or Super Mario Party, they will do a game that requires motion or a game that requires just the Joy-Con. And won't really let you play in handheld. Like, they'll do that. And I think that Skyward Sword is a game that I think if you gave it regular button controls, it would all fall apart, because so much of that game is that game is built around motion controls. And if you don't like motion controls, like, that's okay. Skyward Sword isn't for you. But like that game isn't that game without Wii Motion Plus. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion overall, and people just want it to be mapped to regular controls, and they want all the fluff cut out and everything. But like that game has issues. When playing that game, the issues are not the motion controls, other than like the calibration stuff, which hopefully, if they were to port that, they would make that not as bad.
I think the biggest thing that they can do if/when they bring Skyward Sword to another platform. Make it so the fee doesn't have to explain what every single denomination of rupee is every time you boot the game up.
Listen, even if they don't, just don't close the game. Leave the Switch in sleep mode. You're fine. Yeah, I think that is something they would fix, considering what they've made enhancements to these other HD ports.
But yeah, Skyward Sword now with funky mode. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
With new Groose mode.
You can fast forward during the crappy segments. Instead of doing the music notes, you can just hit a button, skip it.
Interesting news today in the indie realm. There was an update to the Bloodstained Ritual of the Night Kickstarter, which announced that Iga's team is also bringing in Way Forward. Which, I mean,
wasn't this game supposed to like come out like in a few months?
Well, I guess now it's mid 2019 instead of you know just 2019, which I think was what the last date we got for it.
Like when this game hit its Kickstarter, like I wasn't even thinking of having children. By the time the game comes out, my kid's going to be able to play it.
But I mean, if you're gonna go to like if you're gonna bring in Ringer, like bring in the closer to finish this game off and get it ready to ship, you know, you could do, you know, you Way Forward's one of the best in the business for these things.
I would say, especially if you're doing it on a schedule. You hear the Yacht Club guys talk about this a lot, about how, you know, I think what they had a year to develop Shovel Knight. And they said like that was the longest that they ever worked on a game by like double or triple. Because I think a lot of the Way Forward projects are like, all right, we're going to scope this out and we're going to get this done in 5 months. And that's I think how they've been successful for over 20 years, maybe 25. Way Forward's been around for a very long time at this point. But like that's part of the reason is that they're very good at hitting deadlines. So I guess like the next time you hear a release window or a release date set, I would feel a lot more confident about it knowing that Way Forward is working on the game because they are good at hitting deadlines. However, everybody else related to Kickstained, which I guess still works. Everybody else related to Bloodstained clearly has an issue with hitting deadlines. You know, there could be external things that happens. Obviously, delays aren't the end of the world. But if you're missing milestones, missing deadlines, and the game keeps on getting pushed back, like you're probably going to keep on doing that. Maybe that's why Way Forward's coming in, to make sure that they're on track.
Yeah. Because it's bad enough that they've already had to cancel at least one version of the game because of delays. But if Way Forward can get this thing out, let's say before E3 2019, that looks really good on them, and we finally get what a lot of people paid a lot of money to get.
Yeah, and I will say this on the off chance that anyone with an overdue Kickstarter is watching at this point in the video. Don't release a Wii U version. It's not worth it. You'll take a PR hit. Move on.
I
know there was someone recently who I think Batman Princess Madeline, is that coming to Wii U?
That's coming to Wii U next year.
Okay. Don't do it. Like, yeah, you're gonna hurt some people. Who the hell is buying new Wii U games? Like, who? I'd like to meet you if you're still buying games of the Wii U and playing it regularly. Because just get a Switch. It's a better Wii U.
But if you are a company that had a Kickstarter and you promised a 3DS version of a game, it might be the year next year to finally deliver on that.
Number 9 3DS and Vita are never coming out. Ever.
I was about to say, not that you're mentioning any names or concept.
I didn't say anything. I just said
it. Yeah. It's really a shame that Mighty Number 9 was such a tire fire. Because like I Inafune was responsible for some good games, and now I don't know if I can ever trust the man again.
You know
what they should. Is Red Ash still happening?
I don't know. I think they took the money and ran on that one. But what they could do with 3DS owners, I don't know about what they do for the people that backed for Mighty Number 9 on the Vita. Just send them a code for Mighty Gunvolt Burst.
Yeah, they might have.
We'll call it, and you know what? You'll get a better game out of it.
Whatever happened to Red Ash? Now I want to know. Is like Inafune enter witness protection or something?
He kind of ghosted at some point. Like last I heard, like Concept got bought out by Level 5.
Developer Level 5 Concept is the name of the name of the company. What's the latest in the development of? Oh yeah, there was the anime for the Kickstarter. All right.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on with Red Ash, and I don't care. I'll be honest.
Bloodstained, I love the 8-bit version. So go play that if you really want that game and you haven't.
I know that you like it a lot, and Donald, you bought it. I was a little disappointed in that. Like, maybe it's because I went into playing it with everybody hyping it up that, like, I just thought it was okay.
Maybe.
I
like that style of Castlevania game, though. That's more level-based, so over the exploration ones.
I like Super Castlevania 4 a whole hell of a lot, but I ultimately prefer the Metroidvania style of Castlevania as opposed to the linear one.
Well, that would explain it then.
Yeah.
And final story that it is really important, although it doesn't really affect us very much as a Nintendo-focused YouTube channel. Nintendo has announced that the controversial Nintendo Creators Program, which basically gave Nintendo a cut of pretty much everything that would go up on various websites, is being scrapped at the end of the year. The site itself will close down in March. And you can now monetize through YouTube, Twitch, and they are not going to care. And they've basically allowed Let's Plays as long as there is some sort of commentary with it. So they're just like every other company on, you know, who has their games being uploaded to YouTube and Twitch.
Welcome to 2018, Nintendo. Or maybe welcome to 2013. I don't know.
So basically, you can monetize Nintendo videos now. Is that how it works?
Yeah, yes. The only thing that they will probably claim on, if necessary, is uncommentated direct gameplay. So as long as there's some sort of creative element in it, you'll be fine.
Couldn't you argue that the skill in the game is more creation?
Oh,
just adding your own grunts.
Need some like Donkey Kong noises. But yeah, I would argue that there's also an art in the gameplay, or it could be considered like you're teaching people how to play the game by showing them how to do it.
You know what? Start making some pro tips videos, Justin, and then we'll talk. We'll see what happens. Put them up there with just your skill doing the talking.
Yeah,
just and then if it gets like content ID, you can just be like, "Yo, but this is my art."
Well, when videos of us playing Smash Brothers go up, you're going to have that.
Yeah, we will have your art. And look at how he handles Nana.
I don't need to handle Nana. She takes care of herself. That's the beauty of it all.
I might have to save her
from falling in a pit a few times, but, you know, that's how it goes.
So
God, I can't wait to play Smash Brothers. Ice Climbers are back, baby.
And pretty much all we need at this point is like some sort of way to stream directly to YouTube or Twitch built into the Switch firmware, which I'm sure is probably coming in like firmware 14.0 or something.
Yeah, like I feel like they'll build to that, but like I don't know, they're very slow with their firmware.
Well, they have that app, you know, coming to the phone, right? That we can save.
Yeah,
maybe you could take those saves from your phone and upload
the replays. Yeah. At some point, we're going to have to talk about how the Switch firmware is still kind of shitty.
Where's my freaking folders?
Folders, please.
It's basically exactly what it was when it came out, which, like, okay, what it was a bare-bones workable system, but, like, it's barely had any, like, we got video capture. That was it. Like, yeah, folders would be a godsend. Themes would be cool. It's just like, it's still, it is simple. I'll give it that. But
no,
like,
Badge Arcade. No.
Bring Badge Arcade.
No, don't.
I love Badge Arcade. There's a Badge Arcade assist trophy. When I played Smash Bros., it happened and it was the best.
That's
and then I got picked
villain.
Up by the crane and died, and it was terrible.
Badge Arcade is the biggest, the bunny is the biggest villain in Nintendo history.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would go with Anna, but.
Anna should get an assist trophy.
Anna should be a playable character. I'm sorry.
I mean, that too. But if Lynn's just an assist trophy, then you know what? Who from Fire Emblem deserves to be a playable character if Lynn's an assist trophy?
Can I say Celica still? I'll beat that.
Celica would be real good.
I will beat that drum until they announce a Three Houses character as Ultimate DLC.
Anyone with a sword should be playable.
You know what? I've seen enough Soul Calibur 6 videos with Fire Emblem characters, including like healers and axe users, that you know what? Screw it. Let's just get, once Namco Bandai is done with Ultimate, let's get them to work on a Fire Emblem skinned Soul Calibur.
Yeah, why not?
And there'll be like five different forms of Camilla in it because money. And Dale wants them to bring back the Miiverse. I think Nintendo running a social network. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Oh my god! Just imagine Miiverse in modern day America. Nintendo got out at the right time.
Yeah.
But I think part of the reason why Miiverse died is Nintendo realized it was just easier to leverage Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think they've done well with that. I mean, you can post to them very easily from Switch. You can do that on 3DS and Wii U, too. I think Wii U.
There was the image share, which I think both of them got access to.
Yeah.
Web-based.
Yeah.
All right, but if we're calling for the heat death of Miiverse again, I think it's time to wrap this up because it's also after midnight for me.
Yeah, I'm getting tired too. I don't have the longevity that I used to now that I have a child. It makes me tired. He wakes me up early. Yes. He sleeps through the night though. I'll have him on one time. He can tell you his opinion of watching Dad play Pokemon. It'll be incoherent, but you know, he's making noise, he's squawking. I will say, so for some reason a buttload of other games are coming out next week. From those games, are there any that you're excited for that are like coming out in early December?
Guacamelee 2.
Yeah, it's coming out December 10th, right?
Yeah, so after it'll be after Smash, but yeah,
that still fits within my nebulous early December thing because I find it weird that like there's a bunch of games that I want to play if you're coming out right around Smash Brothers, and like I'm a sap, so I'll probably wind up getting a lot of them. I know for me, Katamari Damacy Reroll is coming out the same day as Smash Brothers.
Yes.
I think it's kind of tragic because I don't think that game's gonna sell well compared to Smash Brothers, but I'm so glad that game exists. I think there was a DSiWare Katamari game that might have never even come out, might have just come out in Japan maybe, but
yeah,
like this is the first mainline Katamari game on Nintendo systems. It's been well over 10 years since the series debuted on PS2. This is like it's so perfect to have this on a Nintendo system because it is like kind of like weird level of Nintendo quirk. And it makes me more excited for the creator of Katamari, Keita Takahashi, his new game Watam, which I really hope comes to Switch. Originally, I think it was a Sony published game, but then Sony dumped it, and then Annapurna Interactive picked it up. I think it's slated for PC and PS4 right now. I'm still hoping to hear that announcement of a Switch version, but I love everything that dude makes, and I'm happy to see his first game, Katamari Damacy Reroll, come to Switch next week. How about you, Justin? Or is your answer just Toki?
My answer is going to be Toki, but you gave me the review code for that, and I already played it, so it became for me a late November game, which is good because I have a feeling once Smash Brothers comes out, I'm going to be playing that game a whole lot.
I'll just like there are the Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom comes out next week. Yeah. That game looks fantastic. Battle Princess Madeline looks interesting. I'm trying to think of what else.
The Genesis Collection comes out next week.
Yeah, Sega Genesis Classics, which David Karamis, I don't know if I'm actually pronouncing his name right. I've never had to say it out loud until right now. Someone's working, a David who works for the site, we have a lot of them, is working on a review for Sega Genesis Classics that should be up sometime next week. Before Smash, because after Smash, we will be all Smash all the time.
I will prepare my... I still have to think up my really funky moveset or rule set, although I'm sure nothing is going to top all Gus Bellows all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's peek behind the curtain if you made it this far. We're thinking of kind of regular Smash Brothers video features. One of them is... we come up with a dumb rule set once a week and experiment with a match from it, which, like, I don't know, give me low gravity and, like, one particular item that makes it stupid. Just have hell where just lots of items and all of the S flags, which I think, actually, I'm trying to think of who I was playing with. It might have been Matthew Zadaniak that I played when Smash Wii U came out, and I wind up in a match that lasted for like a half an hour of just all S flags. So like basically everybody lived forever.
All S flags on Hyrule Temple.
I think that's what it was. But it was like after like I basically was like, well, this is stupid, and sat there for a while. And at a certain point, I'm like, yo, I gotta go to bed. Like, this is going on for too long. So yeah, if you have any really dumb Smash Brothers rule set ideas, let us know, and maybe we'll workshop it and come up with a fun little video.
I got one for you, Neil. For glory.
No, it's a dumb rule set. Pokeball is only Pokemon Stadium. That's good, Donald. You could have said that on the show.
All right, I want Pokeballs and assist trophies only. 8 ice climbers.
And to see if you can break the game.
I want to see the game. I want to see my Switch just start shaking in the dock.
So because I am but me, we did it. Well, we actually did have, because when...
and online.
When Jared and I were recording our multiplayer footage for Smash Brothers, we first got on a kiosk that two people were there and they were playing with no items. So it was like, oh, you know what? We'll get a couple matches with no items and play with these guys. I know when we got control of the TV, we turn on items on very high, so there's a match. I know it's K. Rool and Daisy. I was playing as Daisy on it. I forget what level it's on. It wasn't Dracula's Castle. It was New Pork City, but it was like the Battlefield version of it. Because, like, I wanted to play New Park City, but then somebody was like, no, like, play the Battlefield version so you can play it, but it's not dumb, which was a good call. But that match ends with, like, there's, like, a Rathalos is on the screen. Because we were playing Final Smash Meters, both K. Rool and I had Final Smash Meters ready. And there was, like, Pokemon and assist trophies, like, all this stuff going on. And I happened to land... I triggered Daisy's Final Smash, which is like the zoom in and then all the fruit pops over. I landed it in a way that made K. Rool go to sleep, but he was in the air, so he just fell off the bottom of the screen. But it was just total mayhem. Like, I didn't even realize. Like, I was just like, oh, I have a Final Smash. Gotta use it. Did not, like, that wasn't planned. It was just because so much was going on the screen.
I heard that's a broken Final Smash, because if they're off the edge and you use it, they just fall asleep and die.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Which, like, this is pretty good. But, Yeah, I want to play Smash Brothers, guys. We should do that next week, in about a week and a half an hour.
I'm going to the Best Buy midnight launch, so I'm
Woo!
gonna get my Amiibo, my Smash.
I'm gonna buy the Japanese version when it comes out so I can play it as soon as possible. So I won't play it
I'll
by now. Hey, Elvis, come over to your house.
I'll be that guy who just I'll go into the shop sometime during the day after I get my memory card and be like, yeah, let's go buy Smash. I am After Smash, I'm like 1,000 points away from having a family plan renewal on gold coins. It's awesome.
It's probably a better idea to use it on that because you don't get gold coins for that. And if you buy games, I think you reduce the number of gold coins you'll get.
I think that is true. I don't think you can really double up.
But then I'm good for online until September 2020. Right. But anyway, let's get our plugs in here. Of course, here we are live every week on YouTube. Sometimes I'll drop some ideas into the chat room. Just keep an eye on our Twitter at Nintendo underscore NWR for information as to when we are going live. Of course, the mothership is at NintendoWorldReport.com. We will have Justin's Tokyo review tomorrow. We've got a whole bunch of other reviews this week and a full rundown of all the Nintendo financial stuff that we talked about earlier. If you want to support the site, supports us, patreon.com/NWR, where there will also be a rough cut of the audio version of this show, which you can get on iTunes, Google Play, or in the podcatcher of choice. And if you want to follow us on social media, Justin is at King Nintendo Fan. Go there for all your obscene amounts of Mew candy. Neil is at Enron10, the leading Twitter account for the Fire Mike McCarthy campaign. And I'm at NWR Donald. Thank you very much and have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.